Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder like we do every goddamn motherfucking day.
Yeah, I'm so totally excited to get into some of the stats over the next 3 days as we get ready for the All-Star break. So this is going to be big for us to be able to break down a lot of the amazing things that we are able to watch on a daily basis.
For sure, man. We're going to get started off by looking at our schedule. We're going to talk about a look back, kind of look at what we've come through the season. We're going to talk about SGA's 538 article. We're going to break that down into three sections. And today we're going to cover the first part of that. And then, of course, we're going to get into our rant. We're so excited that you joined us for this episode. We have amazing news that we're going to get started off with. Thank you so much for joining us. Here we go.
Black Lives Matter. This is something that's very important for Mark and I, and we are going to continue to speak up and use our platform for positivity.
Yeah, man, 100% Black Lives Matter. That's what, you know, we, when we realized that we had a really big opportunity and we had a platform here, you know, because a lot of people are tuning us in for the first time today. I know that, you know, we're like, what do we want to do? You know, what do we want to do with this platform? And the thing that we both came to, you know, and it wasn't even a question, was we wanted to focus in on injustice across this country. And, you know, we, our voice, obviously, it's starting to grow. Our platform is starting to grow. And with that, we believe there's a responsibility that comes with that. And we want to make sure that we make it clear to everybody who ever listens to us that we stand with everybody who's ever suffered from racial injustice in this country. And we want to make it known right now that this is a safe place for anybody who suffers from any injustice. It doesn't matter if it's in this country or other countries. We have listeners from all around the world. Please reach out to us. We're here. You know, we will share your information with anybody that is willing to listen. And we are here to fight for anybody who's oppressed. You know, we support anybody who speaks up for the oppressed. And it doesn't matter if they get shit for it. In fact, if they get shit for it, that's, we're going to be standing right next to them. You know, I saw LeBron got some shit the other day. And he stood up for himself, and he should. And he should never stop talking about racial injustice. He should never stop talking about injustice anywhere. This is America. And if we can't talk about injustice just because somebody plays basketball, well, then it doesn't sound like we live in America, doesn't it?
Yeah, fuck Zoltan. Seriously, that guy is a total dick. I can't believe he actually spoke up and said something like that. To me, I'm standing 100% behind LeBron. The way that he is able to use his platform for positivity, I am 100% for it. To me, this is exactly what the United States stands for, and we have to stand up together because we are a nation. We are a country, and we need to be there for each other. So, Mark, I applaud you for saying something, and this is something that means a lot to Mark and I, and especially because we are going to now talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, I mean, right before we get started on the Thunder, though, let's just face it, dude. Today, you hit me up. Usually, I'm the one hitting you up with the good news like this, but today it was you. You hit me up. Let me know that we cracked the top 100 in basketball podcasts in the United States. This is our first time. This is only our second month into podcasting. We're about to not be able to say that anymore because, you know, March is a new month and it'll be our third month. But let's face it, man, top 100 in the month of February, we came out of nowhere and we're smoking the competition.
Yeah, this just goes back to all of our listeners. I applaud you guys for continuously listening to our shit and letting us continue to talk here. I know there's a lot of people that will say, oh, it's because of how many episodes that you guys have, and that's why you guys are ranking. No, what we're doing is we're hustling. We're hustling for the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're hustling for the fans. We're doing a lot of research on a daily basis. We're reading a lot of stupid shit just to give you guys the best of it so that you guys don't have to go out there and do all the research yourself. Now, if you guys want to, like you're Mark and I, and you want to do the research, please do so. But honestly, like, this is exactly why Mark and I are here. We're here to talk positivity and talk positive about the Oklahoma City Thunder. And that's what you're going to get with us. We're going to hyper-focus on all the good things that we have seen, and especially with the schedule coming up, all the good things that we will see from this team. So this is huge.
Yeah, this is a great time to, you know, look back and thank all of our supporters that came along early and continue to be there for us. We know who you are. We feel you, and we're never going to forget you, for sure. Because in the end, Like we've said so many times, we only want friends who have courage. And if you waited to speak up until we were popular, it's too late. You know, the people who have courage are the ones that we want to be friends with forever. So we see you, Chencho. We see you, Dakota. We see you, Thunder Erie. We see you, so many other people that have asked us to keep their names out of it. We appreciate that. We understand that we are controversial because we love the Thunder and we don't think about, you know, that bleep word that we like to not say, but sometimes I can't help myself. But today we're going to try to avoid it because you know what? We're in the top 100. We don't got to say that word.
We have risen to the top 100 because we believe that this team is worth watching and our listeners agree with us. That's as simple as that. This Oklahoma City Thunder team is not a tanking Thunder team. And anybody that listens to us recognizes that, is able to understand that this Thunder team is exciting to watch. There's so many positive things going on right now with the Thunder. There's so many things to hyper-focus on, is that you can just leave the negativity at the door, and this is our time to be able to talk Thunder love.
Yeah, man, we've been circling this section of the season for a long time, and a lot of it was, you know, blindly because we didn't understand what the second half of the season would bring. But we did know we couldn't possibly face the Milwaukee Bucks or the Lakers in consecutive order like we had already. So we were counting on the fact that the schedule would start letting up. And that's what I want to start focusing on right now. I want to focus on the next 20 games. We have two games coming up in a few days. Okay, first we play the Mavs and the Spurs. And then we have a full break of a week. All right, so the next 18 games, we've deemed all 20 of these games as winnable. Okay. So think about that. After going through that gauntlet of the schedule, now we're sitting in a spot where we have 20 winnable games in a row. I already mentioned the Mavs and the Spurs. So let's talk about after the All-Star break. I'm just going to run through them. And then, Dave, you can tell me what you're thinking when I'm done. All right, we got the Mavs, the Knicks, the Grizzlies, the Bulls, the Hawks, the Rockets, the T-Wolves, the Grizzlies, the Celtics, the Mavs, the Raptors, the Suns, the Trailblazers, the Pistons, the Hornets, and the Cavs. To me, that sounds like 20 winnable games.
Man, I 100% agree, especially with all the East teams that we play in the first month of the second half of the season. This is exactly what we're getting excited about because, like Mark said, we recognized when we had the hardest schedule in the league in the beginning of the season, Mark and I recognized that the schedule was going to get easier for us. That's why we started speaking out about the playoffs. If we could be somewhere around 500 getting into the All-Star break, we knew that we had an opportunity to make it to the playoffs because, like Mark said, there's 20 winnable games right in a row because anytime that we play in an East team, it's a winnable game. And if you look at Boston, we look at 76ers later on in the season. There's so many East teams. We play Charlotte, Detroit. We play Detroit twice. We play Chicago. We play Atlanta. We have an incredible opportunity to steal a lot of games and a lot of games in a row. And that's why Mark and I are incredibly excited because this is legitimately one of the easiest schedules in the NBA. And we have a chance to run the tables.
Yeah, we got to take a look back right now and just really appreciate how far we've come. You know, you and I were sitting here and we were talking playoffs long before anybody else was even thinking about that. And now I'm looking at it and the national media and all of the fan base is starting to come around and they're starting to look at it and say, hey, this isn't impossible. And the thing is, what you and I did was we saw into the future and we decided to bet on this team. And you know what? We're not going to stop betting on this team. We believe in this team. We always will believe in this team. And when you look at the strength of the schedule that we had to face, starting at February 8th, we played the Lakers twice, and then the Nuggets, and then the Bucks, the Trailblazers. They squeezed the Memphis game in there. We had to play the Bucks again. And there's nothing else like that. We don't have a part of the schedule that when you look at goes, oh, that is just absolutely so grueling. I don't know how we're going to make that.
Yeah, towards the end of the second half, I do see that we're going to have some trouble, but we're just talking about the first 20 games right now. And looking at the 20 games and who we play, I'm just incredibly excited right now. Like, we have an unbelievable chance. And if you've watched this team like Mark and I have and hyper watched this team, you recognize what Mark and I are saying when we have an incredible opportunity to be able to win a lot of the East games. Miami, we've lost twice to this year. That's all right, though. They just have a better, they play very similar basketball as we do. And they're just playing like a really good team basketball right now in the aspect of they're sharing the ball and doing other good things. Now, the record isn't as good, but looking at this, guys, I'm really excited that we have an opportunity to play so many East teams in the first 20 games of this next half of the season. It really is putting us in a position to do some really great things and really quickly. We have we have back-to-back games, a few here and there, especially in the first 20 games. Those are the games that we need to circle and keep a really close eye on to see how Coach D handles those games, because as we've been watching, the team has been really worn out. We saw it last night. I think it really affects our shot, especially a three-point shot, when we have guys that are worn out like they are. So I'm really excited to see how Coach D is going to set up for these back-to-back games.
Yeah, man, I agree. This is one of those situations where we get to watch a young team and a young coach and watch them progress. And then we know that as the years go on, we're going to be able to build off these patterns in our minds. So watching them adjust to this type of schedule is super critical, and we're so grateful to be around for this early of a young, great Thunder team. Let's talk about greatness, man. SGA, we've mentioned it a bunch of times, and we're going to break it out into three sections, like I mentioned earlier, but SGA's article from 538. They start out in that article by talking about a game he had against the Bulls in an overtime game where he went for 33-10. He had 43 drives, and they brought up a stat since 2013-2014, when they began tracking drives, there's only been three games where players had more than 40 drives. In fact, there's only been 15 games where a player's had 30 or more drives, and out of those 15 games, SGA has he's done 9 of them on his own. In fact, he's leading the league in drives per game at 25.5, and, well, you tell me the rest, Dave.
SGA leads the league with 25.4 drives a game. Now, Portland is the worst team in the league at drives per game, and they're only averaging 31. So that means that SGA is almost beating the Portland Trailblazers every single game that and the average out on drives. Now, he's only 5.6 drives a game behind, so it would be interesting to see how much Coach is starting to look at all those statistics, and I'm excited to see how Coach is going to push SGA to a higher level in the second half of the season, because I don't think SGA is done getting better. I don't think he's going to stop going to the hole. I think it's going to be one of those things that now he has found his three-point shot. Teams cannot just let him sit there with no problems. They can't let him just stroke the three from downrange. His step back, fade back, whatever you want to call it, sidestep. He's added so many moves to his three-point game. Teams are no longer going to be able to just stand out there and let him shoot. They're going to have to let him drive to the hole more, and which just means that we're going to see more drives throughout the season. I'm excited that SGA is definitely becoming an elite driver in the league. I think he's proven that he deserves to be an all-star, and it's really fucked up that he was dissed like he was.
Specifically, SGA shoots 55% on drives, and out of ball-dominant players, which is a player who shoots five or more twos after holding the ball for 6 seconds or longer, he is the most efficient scorer in the league, okay? And he leads the league in percentage of twos that are unassisted. So that, once again, that speaks to his ability to drive and score. And on pick and rolls, he's the second most efficient scorer in the league behind only Steph Curry. Okay. And just specifically referencing SGA's driving ability only, 538 concludes, SGA is among the best at creating and finishing inside the arc. Okay. And like you mentioned, He's more than just a driver. You know, he's more than just that. He's a great passer. He has a great three-point shot. His mid-range game is on point too. And we're going to get into all of that in the next two episodes. But first, we want to build out SGA's game where it really starts. And to me, it starts with his ability to drive.
Absolutely. So let's just, I'm going to echo what Mark said here and repeat it. SGA leads the league in points, unassisted. he also scores at 50% when he holds the ball for 6 seconds or more. This is exactly the type of player that you want. He is creating his own shot. He's becoming incredibly effective, making his own shot, getting to the hole, and doing the things that coach needs him to do in order to be successful. And if you look at the way that he shoots the ball, right, he doesn't take a lot of shots in the game. And that, to me, is exactly the type of player that has the future superstar abilities. And I already feel like SGA is a superstar, and I understand there's a lot of haters on that because he's only 22 years old. I get that. But the way he is playing this season is proving that he needs to be added into the list of superstars.
Well, for sure. If you look and compare SGA versus James Harden in their first 3 years, James Harden averaged 9.9 points a game on 40% shooting his first year. SGA, 18.8 on 47% shooting. The second year, James Harden, 12.2 points a game on 43% shooting. SGA, 19 points a game on 47% shooting. Harden on his third year was 16.8 points a game on just about 50% shooting. And SGA is doing 23.5 points a game on 51% shooting. And I know Harden wasn't starting those years, so that it's not a complete apples to apples comparison. But when you talk about a star, when you talk about somebody who has MVP written all over him, you have to mention SGA.
Absolutely. You cannot not add him to the list. He's averaging 24 points a game off of 15 and a half shots a game. Like this is one of the most effective guards in the league. We're not talking about some little chump anymore. We're talking about an elite guard in the league, and it's proof that this is somebody that you cannot tank with. SGA is too good to tank, and that's exactly what Mark and I have been saying since the start of the season on our podcast, is that this team is too good to tank. You cannot say this team is going to tank. You can't, because of SGA and the surrounding pieces that Sam has put around him, that there's no way in the world that this team isn't going to be within spitting distance of making the playoffs at the end of the year, or if not making the playoffs.
For sure, man. And I want to talk a little bit about our roster outside of SGA. I broke it up into three categories. Today, we're going to go over the first section. Tomorrow, we'll go to the second. And then obviously the third day, we'll get to that G League section, which is, to me, that's the one that I get really, really excited about. You want to hear me nerd out? Let's talk about the G League, right? But let's start focusing today on the new players that are new to the system and are still relatively young. Tomorrow we'll talk about the returning players and the vets, but today we're going to talk about the new ones. Let's start out with fan favorite, Mr. Mullet, Kenny fucking Hustle.
When you look at shooting guards in the league and you try to put together what you need out of a shooting guard and a shooting guard hybrid, this is the way the coach has been playing him this year, you have to look at it as you need somebody that's willing to do all the dirty work with little return. And, you know, Kenny is one of two players that has played in every single game this season for us. To me, he's just one of those guys that you can tell the way that he plays defense and the way that he fouls other players. He is a angry, angry person on that court. And I love it, because that's what you need. You can't have all these guys that are like, oh, let's go give each other hugs and stuff like that. No, Kenny would kick you in the nuts before he'd give you a hug. And that's the type of aggression, and that's the type of player that we need on our basketball team at all times. He brings up the level of intensity the second he walks on that court. And that is exactly the type of person that we need coming off that bench to pump up the guys and get them going.
All right, man, let's talk about another guy. And I agree everything you're saying on Kenny. And I would love to add more to it, but I think you took up all the best parts. No, I'm just kidding. There's a lot to love about Kenny's game, and we get into it all the time, his offensive rebounding, but like you said, his defensive intensity, and you know that Udonis Haslem in him, where he's like, I'm not here to make friends, you know, I'm here to play basketball. And I really appreciate the way Udonis had that attitude in the bubble, and I see it in Kenny too, this focus, where he's not there just to be friends with everybody. You know, after the game, there's time for that, but on the court, hell no. Isaiah Roby, to me, I have to continue to give you props for you being able to like call it out, because in the end, you were the first person on Isaiah Roby Island, and you are the biggest believer in Isaiah Roby. I am the number one convert, and I am preaching the gospel of Isaiah Roby, and I will continue to do it, but in the end, I have to give you props for being number one.
Okay, I appreciate you saying so, but at best, I would call myself number three, because if you look at Coach D And the way that he utilized him last year in the G League, and you look at Sam Presti and the way that he went out and got him, to me, this is exactly the type of player that we need. But you're right, Mark. I'm the top three fan of Isaiah Roby. I saw some beautiful things in him early in his career, and I've always felt like Isaiah could take it to the next level, and like he has been. And he's been putting up some amazing minutes, especially with Al sitting out as much as he's been. I think Isaiah Roby is proving that he deserves to get at least 25, 30 minutes a game every single game. I watched his footwork last night. I can't help but marvel at how quickly he's able to get up at that court. He pushes the ball like a guard. Yes, he is only 6'8" and he's playing in the post. I don't give a shit. He is a straight up fucking baller. And if you can see that and you can agree with us, awesome. If you can't, I totally get it. Your job isn't necessarily to agree with everything we say, but Isaiah Roby is going to be an elite player in the NBA. He's only 23. He's getting his first real minutes in the games. Really, he's a rookie this year, and if you see what he has done, you cannot step back but be really fucking impressed.
Yeah, and I guess if you've listened this long, you probably know by now, but if you don't agree with us, you know where to go. All right, so check it out, man. Isaiah Roby's game is awesome, but the thing that has surprised me, right, since he's come back from injury, is his range and his fluidity. The way that I've seen coach have him bring up the ball, I haven't brought it up every time because it's becoming almost normal now, but that whole point Roby thing, that's real, man, and it's really impressive. Now, the guy that's been starting at point guard for us over and over and over again and is really the future, even though so many people at the beginning of the season, before they even watched him play, we're ready to put the label at best he was a backup. But already, at the age of 19, he's demonstrated that he belongs as a starter in the NBA. And trust me, there's no time to put a ceiling on Théo Maledon.
Yeah, I had an opportunity last year when I was looking up Vit Krejci just because I love to look at potential draft picks around draft time. I was looking at Vit Krejci, and I came around Théo Maledon, and I remember sending Mark some videos and being like he's projected to be in the first round. It would be really neat if we could get him. Obviously, I don't think it will be something that we can because Tony Parker has been mentoring him, and I think it's one of those things where he's probably just going to go to San Antonio. And then it happened. All the trades, all these extra backdoor stuff that happened, and we get a second rounder that is added on as for the Al Horford trade. And guess what Sam does? He gets Théo. And the second we got Théo, I went bonkers. I was like, holy shit, how did he slip that far in the draft? This is a steal. This is huge for us. We're going to be able to watch some player that has elite playmaking abilities be in the Oklahoma City Thunder. And he has not disappointed. I have not once been able to say, oh shit, that was a horrible mistake at that second rounder. Every single second that he plays, he deserves it. He is going to be outstanding. He is going to be a player that we continue to watch all year and for the next 10 years because he is special.
Let's just say it. He's a star. I don't care what anybody thinks. You can't be that good at handling an NBA offense at 19 and not be a star. He hasn't shown everything he has to offer because in the end, he's still learning the ropes. So stick with it. Now, let's talk about the newest addition to the Thunder as far as a recent call-up from the G League, Ty Jerome.
Oh, man, this guy gets me excited. I remember watching him pre-draft with Baisley, and I saw that, especially coming from Virginia and watching him win a national championship, I felt like he slipped a lot in the draft. He could really do amazing things. In Virginia, he played point guard and shooting guard. He moved around a lot. His intensity on defense, his intensity on offense, I felt like he was a steal for the Suns. And I was kind of like, I was loving Baisley. I was excited they got him, especially with the potential that he had at that point. But man, I liked Ty. I felt like Ty was going to be special. And then when we were able to get him in the Suns deal, I know for a fact that Sam, and like people say, oh, Ty was just throwing in on the deal. Sam didn't just want a throw in. He wanted Ty in the deal originally. And if he was able to pull it off, he was going to be excited. Ty is one of those guys that he's going to continue to develop because he can play shooting guard and point guard on defense and offense. He's going to be a player that's going to be able to come in the games and step it up and rev it up and help these guys get going.
Absolutely, man. Ty Jerome, he's something that I really believe he's someone that Sam Presti really, like you said, targeted. It's something that we've heard from people with inside the organization that he didn't just simply like say, oh, we'll just take, you know, this player. He targeted that player in the draft. When he wasn't able to get that player with the picks he had or be able to make the moves he wanted to get that pick, you know, when it became possible to get him through using Chris Paul, that was a center part of the deal. A lot of people think that Sam Presti has throw-ins like Al Horford. You know, he really wanted that pick from the Philly, so the Al Horford was a throw-in. What I love using the phrase throw-in when I'm talking about Presti, because in the end, whatever somebody else throws in, we're going to get the maximum value for, and we're going to find a way to help have that player contribute to help us win. And when I see Sam Presti constantly picking the players he wants to be thrown into deals, and those players come along out of obscurity and then help us out, like Kenny Hustle, like Isaiah Roby, like the pick that turned into Théo Maledon, like Ty Jerome we've mentioned. And, you know, now I want to mention Justin Jackson. Justin Jackson was a player that a lot of people were pretty much done with. You know, they felt like he had his chances, and after 3 years, like they hadn't seen anything that would make him think that he's a star. So, you know, he had been passed between a couple of teams, and Sam Presti knew that he wanted a player like Justin Jackson, the versatility he provides. And we said it early on, he had the ability to stretch the court in ways that a lot of players on our team don't. And his shooting is special. Now, he demonstrated that in a way where we no longer have to be the only ones to say that. You know, he helped us really win that game against Milwaukee. And since then, he's earned a spot in the rotation, and he's really contributing on both ends of the floor. So I'm so grateful to have Justin Jackson on this team. He's already helped us get a win, at least one. And now I know, since he's in the rotation, he's going to continue to help us, you know, get more wins. I'm not sure if he's going to stay in the rotation every single game. We've seen him kind of jump in and out. But that's one of the best things about Justin, is he's always prepared and he's a true professional.
I look at Sam and the way that he is able to, what I say, distract you with his right hand and say, hey, I want that player right there. I want that player right there. And then say, oh, well, let's make the money right by adding in Justin, by adding in Ty, by adding in this pick, by adding in Isaiah Roby. Like, he has a way to say, hey, look at my right hand while I punch you with my left hand. And when he does that, he takes away these players for almost nothing. And I love it, especially with Justin. He was added on a trade at the end of this, at the beginning of the year. And we sent over, I believe it was Johnson. And we got back a pick or some picks, second round picks, and Justin Jackson. You know, also Trevor Ariza was thrown in there. To me, like, this is exactly what we needed with Justin. We needed a leader that played 4 years at college with North Carolina. And obviously at North Carolina with the coach there, he just won 900 games. So that's pretty outstanding to be able to see a coach like that. But you know that this guy was brought up in a system and brought up as a leader of the North Carolina team. You know that he can step in and be a leader for this team and help these guys play, because this is exactly who we need to be able to have for mentoring our guys like Josh Hall and Poku and Roby. We need a player like Justin that has been there, has played all 4 years of college, that is smart, that knows how to manage money and knows how to manage time properly. And being able to teach that to the younger guys is huge. So yes, we did trade and we got Justin thrown in on a deal. But the reality is that Sam had targeted Justin for a long time, and he wanted Justin on this team because otherwise he wouldn't have made the team.
For sure, man. You mentioned Roy Williams, the coach at North Carolina. If you think back, though, where was Roy Williams before North Carolina? He was at Kansas. And one of the players he had at Kansas is the only player with his number retired up in the Thunder's rafters, and that's Nick Collison. And, you know, that type of leadership, that type of ability to be a professional, to go out and to do your job every day, that's something that this organization doesn't just, like, want. They actually elevate it, and they highlight it, and they turn those people into heroes. And so when I see that work ethic in Justin Jackson and I see that this organization is willing to honor a player like Nick Collison, then in the end, the truth is, I know that Justin Jackson has found a spot that he fits.
He's part of the Thunder family, and I love it. I love the fact that he grew up in Houston. I love the fact that he's close to Texas, being in Oklahoma. He's exactly the type of person that we need in the Oklahoma City Thunder community. He is going to continue to give back throughout the years. He's not going to stop giving and loving the city. To me, we gotta see Justin develop into the player that he is, especially being able to watch him in high school all the way through college. This is somebody that Mark and I have continuously watched. When he played for Dallas last year and got some big minutes, I was incredibly excited for him. Even though I don't like the Dallas Mavericks, I was cheering for Justin to do well.
Definitely, man. I always like to see Justin playing, and now that he's wearing a Thunder uniform, it's easy because I don't feel conflicted about cheering for the Mavericks, like you said. Well, let's talk a little bit more about what we have going on coming up. We're going to talk in the future episodes about a little bit more about the roster. We're going to cover the rest of the roster like we mentioned earlier. We're going to talk about what we're counting, what we're calling with SGA, his counter moves, his mid-range, his three-point shooting, and his passing. We're going to cover that in the next episode, or parts of that anyway. And we're also going to take a look deeper into that schedule. We only focus on the beginning of it. There's definitely a lot more in there that we want to get into. Once again, I just want to say thank you to all of our listeners who have helped us get into the top 100 ranked podcast in the United States. But I also want to take a moment and recognize that we're not just in the United States. We are international. I'm going to list off some of these countries that have been listening to us, and I just want you to like take it all in, because while the United States is pretty awesome to be top 100, listen to all this list, all right? Sweden, Paraguay, India, Germany, Brazil, Barbados, Philippines, Malaysia, Hong Kong, United Kingdom, New Zealand, Puerto Rico, South Korea, France, Canada, Taiwan, Australia, Spain, Ireland, Israel, Serbia, Brazil, Italy, Germany, Austria, and Norway. 27 in all, we are international.
Damn, dude, that's a crazy list. That makes me incredibly proud. I know I don't like listening to myself talk at all. And the fact is that we have people listening to us from all these different countries. And to me, it's just definitely a proud thing. I love, like you said, being ranked in the top 100 in the United States is a big deal for us. But honestly, be able to be ranked at all in these other countries is just outstanding. It makes me excited. It makes me proud knowing that what we're doing is resonating. People are hearing us. People are listening. And it's starting to understand that we aren't going anywhere, and we're here to protect the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Absolutely, man. And I just want to, you know, take a time right now and to let everybody know what we expect will be coming next with this season. We anticipate that this team will continue to compete. And we also anticipate that a lot of the haters who call themselves tankers, who would rather watch OSU play than the Oklahoma City Thunder, we anticipate that they're going to start being silenced, which is great. We've been saying it since the beginning. They need to be quiet. Their opinions are no longer warranted. They don't have any standing in the Thunder community. And if you are a tanker, that's fine. Pretty soon, you're not going to be claiming that, because we have made it so you are no longer relevant. You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
It's important that we support this team. It's important that we support the players. It's important that we show our support towards Coach D and Sam Presti in the front office, because to us, it's an important aspect of having a team, a sports team in your city, in your area that you grew up. It's important to be able to support them 110% because they deserve it. They're putting out so much right now, especially with all the COVID situations that are going. They're putting their bodies, they're putting their lives on the line every single time they go out there and play. And that's why they deserve to get 110% from us as fans. It doesn't matter if you live in a different country. If you love the Thunder, you're part of the Oklahoma City Thunder community. And we all take that very serious. We love the fact that we're able to sit here and be able to talk to you guys about the love and passion that we have for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
And we love the Thunder. And the fact that people are recognizing that and that they're coming along for the ride with us makes us so grateful. And I'm going to have a drink right now in honor of all of those people. In the end, I'll tell you right now that the reason that we are so excited, though, is not because of us. yeah, we get geeked out about this shit, but let's face it, we have been given a platform. What are we going to do with that platform? And our goal is to speak up and to try to bring about change. And we started this episode saying it, and it's not something that we intend to say one time. We mean to say it every day. Black lives matter. And I want to take a moment and just recognize some of the people who are no longer with us anymore because of the war on drugs and the violence that's come around it. And let's face it, we as a country need to stop, we need to heal, and we need to move forward. We've had racial-based violence in this country since the beginning, and the war on drugs is just an extension of that. You know, as soon as I found out that we were in the top 100, man, all I could think about was Nipsey Hussle grinding all my life. And, you know, it breaks my heart he's not with us, man. Same with Juice and Pop Smoke, X, and one of our favorite people ever, man, our good friend Tyler Payne, man. He's someone that we miss, and we know that, you know, he's watching us, and we hope that, you know, in the end, we get to hang out with him one more time.
No doubt. Rest in peace, Tyler. You are influenced in all of our lives. We appreciate you for being around. And again, like Mark, echo what Mark said, is Black Lives Matter. We're going to hopefully say a lot more now. And I feel like it's one of those things where we should be saying it every single episode because of the racial injustice that is going on in this nation. We need to be more of a voice for them and standing up for them, just like we stand up for this Oklahoma City Thunder team.
Yeah, because we want to stand up for anybody that is being oppressed or their voice is being squashed. Our goal is to stand up for anybody who needs a voice, because the only way that this platform matters to us is if we use it to do something bigger than is just about us, and bigger than just about the Thunder. Let's talk about the issues that matter. Please continue to contact us and let us know what we can do. If there's anything that we can do to help, if there's anything we can do just by talking about it, we want to continue the conversation. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for reaching out to us. Thank you for making us a top 100 podcast in the United States. We're going to be back tomorrow, like we are every day, with a new podcast, because we love the Thunder and we talk about the Thunder every day.
Yeah, this passion is awesome to be able to share with you guys. And I just want to again thank you to all of our listeners from all over the world for listening to The Last Storm. My name is Dave, and we'll be back here tomorrow.
And my name is Mark. Thank you, and Thunder up.